Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there. You are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. Joining me this week to look ahead to a weekend of TV action from Newmarket, Ripon and Newbury. Plus, there's some Group 1 action in France on Sunday. And we will look ahead to the big meeting at York next week. David Jennings, Racing Post debutant Tom Collins, and from Paddy Power, Neil Ryan. So before we get to York next week, four stunning days on the Knavesmire, we will look to see how we can bolster your betting bank on the Saturday and Sunday. The main action is at Newbury, and we will take in four ITV4 races from there in chronological order. Let's first of all, though, say a warm postcast welcome to Tom Collins. You may well know him from The Punt, where he tips absolutely loads and loads of winners. Tom, what's your ROI this year? It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not 100% sure for the year, but for August, it's 105% for a 31-point profit so far.
Fantastic. So you're on fire. Excellent stuff. Right then. We'll start with the 150 at Newbury on Saturday. It's the Denford Stakes. You may remember it as the Washington Singer Stakes. Two-year-old race, listed race. And how do Paddy Power bet, Neil?
So Boitron at 6-4 is our favourite. We have Good Fortune at 5-2. Antonio de Vega 4-1. The Trader 11-2. And it's 10-1 bar.
The new boys always go first. So Tom, take it away. Give us a winner to kick off with.
Antonio de Vega, I think. Rafe Beckett's filly really impressed me on debut at Newmarket when... I mean, it was a good race. I really like the sixth horse home there, Miss Serenity, Hugo Palmer's. She'll win plenty of races when the ground turns soft. And the form's been boosted by the second, Zagatova's won for Aidan O'Brien in Ireland since. And I think she's got plenty of progression to come, and I think she'll win.
DJ, what a way to kick off, tipping a Rafe Beckett. You can't go wrong, can you?
Oh, he's a lick arse. licking up to the boss. I think this is a really interesting race. The Botron... gave weight away to everything last time, but it just took an age to get on top. Looked beaten for most of that. The one I like is the Trader, who I thought was good at Beverly and I thought was brilliant at Chester. And the interesting thing there was PJ McDonald after the race. Like, he was couldn't speak about this horse highly enough, called him a gorgeous horse. And once he learns to race and not think that he's a playboy, he could be something a little bit special. I think there's a bit of sixes out there. I think he's a bit better than that price suggests. And I love the look of him at Chester. I thought that was a better race than it was given credit for. Spirit Warning was in there for Andrew Balding, whose team are firing at the moment. And the Trader, yeah, he'll do for me, 6-1.
Okay, Tom, just because DJ gives you a nice long answer, don't feel you have to do that. You can stay nice and concise if you like, okay, whatever you want to do. And also, if you think DJ's tips are rubbish, feel free to say. Neil, who do you think will win this?
I have to agree with Tom and Antonio de Vega. The one I did like was Al Hillary, but he was pulled out. Just interestingly, Boitron, we priced him up at 7-1 and he was immediately backed into trees, and now he's obviously 6-4. It's just too short. As Tom said, beat Zagatova, who bolted up the curve next time. The only slight worry would be, like, O'Brien's obviously improved massively first time out, and there was a bit of a cloud over the stable at that stage when she ran against it, but... yeah, look, if that form can be taken literally, Antonio de Vega's the one to beat, in my opinion.
Okay, the 225, we're up and running. We've got the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing Jeffrey Freer Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and five. And like many of the races we're going to look at today, Neil, it's quite wide open, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's quite a consolidated betting. So at the top of the market, we have joint favourites with Hamada and Raymond Tusk at 3-1. Dal Harlid is 4-1. Algometer 9-2. And Walton Street in Perfect Clarity at 15-2, and it's 12-1 bar.
DJ, away you go.
Yeah, I'll keep this short. I fancy Hamada. I thought that was a good handicap. It won last time at Newmarket. There was a bit of quality in there. Elgin was in there, of course, who won the Greatwood. And Hamada made bits of them, really did. Looks a real improving sort that's come from handicaps. Raymond Tusk, the race that won at Hamilton, the listed race, I just thought it fell apart a little bit. Austrian School has been beaten since, and I think Hamada's handicap form is slightly better than Raymond Tusk's stakes form. So Hamada for me, Bruce.
And who for you, Neil?
Yeah, I agree. Hamada missed 572 days off track in the 3-year-old season, but started this season at 87 and is now rated 107. improving the whole time. Could have won by more than 7 lengths last time out. Be interesting to see how he goes as well. He's 12s for the Eber. And I just think when you, if you can look back on Twitter at the interview with William Buick after he won last time, he was just very sweet on him. And I think there's a huge improvement to come.
Okay, 2 votes for Hamada. 3 votes?
No. I don't really like the younger horses, to be honest. I don't like Hamada. I don't think Raymond Tusk will stay. First chance of the trip. I kind of like Dal Harald. I think he's the value in the race. Blinker's taken off after he didn't really take some last time, went fourth in the Goodwood Cup behind Stradivarius. Drops down in class, twice a listed winner. I think he's the value.
Is he one of those horses that you'd be very rude about, David Jennings, Dal Harald?
Yeah, I don't like these ones that just seem to find one too good a lot of the time. I'm not in the fan club anyway. And I think Tom has been a bit harsh there on Hamada and Raymond Tusk. I think they're pretty decent. I think Hamada in particular is on the way up.
Okay, 3 o'clock. It's the Ladies' Day Handicap. 7 furlongs. 5-1 the field, Neil.
Yeah, so Mystic Flights are 5-1 Fav. We have Sabador, Miza and Rogue at 8-1. Sea Fox and Foxtrot are 10-1 and it's 12-1 bar.
And you can go first, Neil.
Yes, there's two that I found pretty interesting in this. The first was Miza, who's a 5-year-old Invincible Spirit gelding, who's moved from Kevin Prendergast to Owen Burrows. Been contesting some really competitive handicaps in Ireland last year. It's had 300-odd days off the track, but has been dropped a mandatory £5 over the winter. So if fit, I think he has a real chance. Like, he's run 16 times and only won once, but very consistent, placing 7 times. The only thing is we wouldn't want the ground to be too firm, but we were talking off air, and I think you guys over there have got a good bit of rain today.
Yeah, it's smashing it down out now.
So that's a positive. And then the second one would be Squats, who, if I was to pick one, would be my bet. Won it last year off a mark of 95 and is now £8 lower with Georgia Cox on board again. Like, has shown no form at all this season, but was the exact same scenario last season prior to landing the prize. William Haggis has a great season already, 28% strike rate, and it just wouldn't be surprised me. It wouldn't surprise me if he's been laid out the whole season for this race again.
You sound shrewd, Neil. Are you shrewder than Frank Hickey?
Frank is very shrewd. I would always take Frank's opinion on races, and if we both agree on something, it would be a decent each way, or a decent big bet for me anyway. He is a shrewdie.
Yeah, but you're shrewder.
Yeah. Probably.
Tom, you were nodding your head in agreement there while Neil was talking, weren't you?
Yeah, I agree with Neil. I like Squats. Everything he said, really. £8 lower than winning last year. George Cox gets on really well with him. I think we get a nice run in the race as well from stall 12, get a bit of cover. Ground's going to suit. Don't see a problem with the price, 12-1, I think.
And talking of shrewdness, you were down the pub the other day saying that you're better than Paul Keighley, weren't you?
Not at all. Paul's a judge.
Okay. DJ.
That brings you on nicely to me, Bruce, the shrewdest of the trio.
Absolutely.
That was tongue-in-cheek. The two, I actually like two here, and none of the shrewdies have mentioned them at all. Mystic Flight is favoured on reputation and promise rather than substance. But there is a bit of substance to its form at Chelmsford last time. I was trying to give a stone to Honeyman, and Honeyman is now rated 89, and Mystic Flight was trying to give it a stone. A real kind of tear away from the front, like very keen in its races. But it could be well handicapped here off 95 on a line through Honeyman. It could have about £6 or £7 in hand. But I'm very much of the opinion that Sabador has a big handicap in him. I fancied him pretty international at York, and I was tearing my hair out when I seen him in front after a furlong. This is a hold-up horse who needs tons of cover, and he made the run in the international at York. It made no sense to me whatsoever. Jared Mossey has been booked this time. He's been dropped a pound. I thought he could win the international at York, or at Ascot, off 94. He's been dropped a pound to 93. So he must have a big chance in this. And I see Gary Nutting on At The Races put him up as well. This is anti-post fancy. So that's obviously good. And I think, yeah, Sabador marginally for me over Mystic Flight.
You just keep putting up those rival tipsters there, mate. Well done. No, Gary's a very good judge. I've known Gary for absolutely years. He's an absolutely brilliant punter. I remember it could even have been in the 80s. No, it would have been early 90s. He had an absolutely huge bet on some 25-1 shot, and it won. And we were all absolutely in awe of how much he'd had on. But Gary is a judge. You're definitely right. Let's look at the highest quality race of the day now. It's the 3:35, the Ladieswood Stud Hungerford Stakes. It's a Group 2, 8 runners so far. Fingers crossed they'll stand the ground, because it's got a good each-way feel, this race. Neil Ryan, how did Paddy Power bat?
So Gustav Klimt's are 13-8, Fav, Labrisa Breeze at 10-3, Sir Dancelot 7-2, and Dream of Dreams and Yafta are 10-1, and it's 12-1 bar.
Tom, you go first. Who's going to win this?
Labrisa Breeze, my nap of the week, I think. I put him up as my nap on Monday, my RFO column. Said I'll be taking all the prices anti-post, which luckily are much bigger than the 10-3 available now. He's definitely a better horse than last year when he was second in this race. I think the ground's going to be perfect, and he ran really well last time out.
He did, didn't he? That was a hell of a race, that, wasn't it?
Proper good race, and it was a great run from the back of the pack, and I think he's just the best horse in the race. I'm not sure why Gustav Klimt's this short, to be honest.
Will he get there in time, though, Labrisa?
Well, that's always a risk, isn't it? But
it's a bit of a white-knuckle ride with him, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The heart will be racing, but I believe.
Will you be able to buy yourself some new super dry clobber if he hacks up
look
there?
Look like I work for Sainsbury's, don't I?
They're looking very smart there, very well turned out. David Jennings, who do you think is going to win the old Hungerford?
I would be like Tom, and I would fancy Labrisa Breeze, only for one thing, and I've got a theory here. There is absolutely no pace in the race whatsoever. And I just wonder, when Ballydoyle are going through these tactics and they're going through and they're saying Sir Dancelot, Labrisa Breeze, all these hold-up horses that need a strong pace to race at, I wonder, are they going to say to themselves, let's dictate this from the front. Let's try something we've never tried with Gustav Klimt. He's been disappointing. Let's just let him roll and see how he gets on. Ryan might be able to dictate the fractions out in front. I'm not a fan of the horse at all. But I just think when they look at the race, they know they've got a miler dropping back to seven with no pace in the race. I wouldn't be surprised to see Gustav Klimt in front after a furlong. And if he is, he could have the race run to suit. If there was a guaranteed front runner in the race, I would be so keen on Labrisa Breeze, because if you take his good form out of the equation or on quick ground, when there's cut in the ground, he is top notch at this level. And last year in the race, he was unlucky as well. So Labrisa Breeze, if there was pace in the race, would have been my selection. But I just have it in the back of my mind. I think they're going to try and make all with Gustav Klimt. And if they do, I think he'll win.
Well, you were hobnobbing with the O'Briens, weren't you, in the week at that lunch? Did you get any inside info on what they might do there?
I said it in the column, it was the funniest thing ever when Aidan was introducing Juan Carlos Capelli to all his family, and he came around, this is Anna, this is Sarah, and then he stopped for a second, he goes, and this is David, and Juan Carlos just goes, well, he's not a jockey anyway.
Oh, absolutely, he certainly isn't. Did you have fun though? Did you get anything out of Aidan?
Yeah, he was in great form.
Anything we should know punting wise?
Let me think, what's coming up, what were we talking about? I get the vibes from him and from Joseph and Dunica that they've sacked him where they want him, sacked him Warrior, so be really interested. I don't think he'll beat Roaring Lion, but they seem to have him back.
Okay, well, we'll be talking about York in a minute. Did you invite him to the wedding?
No, I wish I would love Aidan O'Brien at my wedding, but no. No.
Talking of which, those invites still haven't materialised. Anyway, before we talk any more about the wedding, what's going to win the Hungerford Stakes, Neil Ryan?
I fully agree with David there on Gustav Klimt. I think they might do a US Navy flag and try and dictate the pace from the front. Now that I've heard there's lots of rain over there, I'm more interested in Labrisa Breeze, but I still think it's very dependent on the pace that's been mentioned and where that's going to come from. I'm not sure. Sir Dancelot's obviously very solid, but just has an extra £3 on the field, which might just be telling. So I landed on an each-way squeak at Yafta. So Dark Angel, three-year-old colt, very progressive. Again, started the season rated 89 and is now 110. If you look back, the last race, pretty lucky, possibly, to win, but holding off projection. But I just think it's still lots of progression there. And I think it can get to, there's 12-1s out there. I think it might just be an each-way squeak.
Ripon and Newmarket next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's look now at two ITV4 live races at Ripon, starting with the 205. It's the William Hill Silver Trophy Handicap, which is the consolation for the Great St Wilfrid, which we'll look at next. But the 205, wide open and fair, very competitive, no prices just yet, so we'll get the winners only. Who'd you like, Tom?
Handsome Dude, I think, from stall 15. Hopefully makes all. Well treated on his best form, and I think Paul Midgley does have a key to the race with four runners. Related is probably his best, but they're not drawn high, so kind of puts me off them. So, Handsome Dude.
Are you sure the draw is going to be high?
Last 3 years, I think it's been 16, 20 and 20 that the wins have come from. So, I think that stands well. So, yeah, I think that's the way to look.
DJ, you got a strong one here?
No, I fancy nothing. If pushed, I'd go for Red Pike, but I've absolutely no opinion on this race.
Okay, and Neil?
Yeah, I was struggling on this one. The one I sort of landed on was Mr. Wagyu, but we're talking about the draw there. He's stalled three, so it doesn't give me much confidence. Just was based off the fact he's 3-year-old, has won 4 out of his last 7 races, and with 16 runs, it's the most at least exposed horse in the field. So that was really my only angle on a tough race, to be honest.
Okay, well, it's equally tough at 3:15. It's the William Hill Great St Wilfrid Handicap. 20 runners thundering down that 6-furlong track at Ripon. And it's 7-1 the field. Good old Growl heads the market, I believe, Neil.
Yep, so we have Growl at 7-1. Fav, Flying Pursuit, 8-1. Golden Apollo and Piper's Note are 9-1. Kimberella, 10-1. And the 12-1 bar.
DJ, who wins the Great St Wilfrid?
I'm pretty sweet on Shanghai Glory, Bruce. And now the problem is the draw is drawn in stall 2. But if you remember the race last year, it was drawn high last year off 101. And it won its own side quite convincingly in this race under Jamie Spencer. I think it was 2 lengths clear of the next horse on the near side. But the far side, Matt Moo came from 10, went to far side. Piper's Note came from 3, went to far side. Snapshots was 4th. He came from 5. And Flying Pursuit was in there as well. So they all went to far side last year. So I'm hoping that that's going to be the case this year for Shanghai Glory, who, if the rain comes, I think that's the key for Shanghai Glory. I do think a track like Ripon really suits him if he can get on that far side rail. I see Luke Morris has been booked. I thought that was a cracking run at Newmarket last week. Callum Shepherd rode him that day. Now, he's got up, I think, £2 for that, up to 97, but he's still £4 lower than last year. And if it was the case and the high draw was favoured last year, he would have won the race by 2 lengths and now he's £4 lower. So Shanghai Glory for me.
Who for you, Neil?
So I met Frank Hickey himself in the canteen there a couple of days back and he mentioned Growl at the weekend. If rain came, he was very sweet on him and looking through the form, I agree. Ironically, he's off the same weight as last year's winner, Matt Moo at 9 stone 1 pound. Went off to 5-1, joined Fav for this last year off £10 higher mark. Look, although he's not up to level anymore, there's a horse that came second in the Group 1 Champion Sprint. And we do know that Dr. Merriman Kukash just loves winning these big handicaps. And I can see him going very, very close.
So it's Growl for Neil. It's Shanghai Glory for DJ. Tom Collins, who's your fancy?
Well, I've had a pretty good look at the race, to be honest, because I think it's a race with plenty of value, obviously, each way turns. I narrowed it down to 3. Growl's one of them. Flying Pursuit and Alcala. I think Flying Pursuit's going to be my biggest bet in the race. Always runs well here. I think he's a 3-time winner at the track. Got a good draw. Hopefully can grab the rail. Same kind of thing in the Constellation race and kind of make all under Rachel Richardson. I think Alcala is definitely one to watch for David O'Mara. I've put him up as my Air Gold Cup tip. I think he's got a great chance in that and he's probably been laid out for the race. But just interesting to watch him, maybe an each way little play as he's getting primed for the air contest. I think good price each way, 16-1.
And you're Growl a little too short, or will you be having him in tri-casts?
I mean, if I could land a tri-cast in the Great St Wilfrid, I've done very well. I think he's got a great chance he'll be banging there at the finish, but I might have a little saver on him.
Okay, the other televised race by ITV4 on Saturday is the 2:45 at Newmarket. It's the Randox Health Handicap. 6 furlongs. What's the latest, Neil?
Buffer Zone at 5-2. Jawel at 7-2. Rebel Streak at 5-1. Staxton 11-2. Count Auto 8-1. And 10-1 bar.
And we'll stick with you, Neil.
So, yeah, I found this one pretty difficult too. I landed on Jawel for John Godson just simply off the basis that he's been running on really, really competitive handicaps in the last 2 races. Looks just didn't really settle properly, and I just think Cheekpiece's first time will help him, and this is definitely kind of a step down grade in race. 7-2, I think, is value.
Righty-ho, Tom?
It's not really a betting race for me. I think it's a bit too trappy. If it turns soft, maybe Neola goes well on soft ground, but no strong opinion otherwise.
Have you had a good look at the weekend weather, Tom? What do you think we're going to get?
I think there'll be some rain. I mean, I live quite close to Newbury and there's definitely going to be rain there. It's been chucking it all morning. I think there's rain at Ripon as well tomorrow. Newmarket, this always rides good to soft, so.
Okay. DJ, have you got the answer to this one?
Oh, I think I do, yeah. This is my strongest fancy today. Buffer Zone, I think, is going to win this. I think he should be shorter. He in his first handicap at Windsor, he subsequently we found out he was faced with an impossible task trying to give so much weight to Kimmy 5, who was running off a mark of 78. is now rated 91. The second that day is rated £5 higher now. And Buffer Zone was one of these horses at Windsor, where, do you know when there's a bias on the near side rail and you're out in the middle of the track and you think you're on front, and then they come up to the line and you're a few lengths behind, you're just wondering, how is this even possible? But Buffer Zone was one of them that was forced to race in the middle of the track at Windsor when it was a Monday night where the bias was on the inside rail. And I thought that was a pretty good effort because he didn't get any cover. He was stuck out in the middle of the track. He's been dropped a pound for that. And as it turns out, it wasn't a bad run at all. I think Newmarket will suit better. Andre Atzeni takes over from Kieran Schumacher, which I think is a positive. And I think Buffer Zone, we haven't seen the best of him yet. I think he's a pretty good sprinter.
Okay, this is the point in the show where we round up all the other fancies that you have that aren't your nap. So keep your nap dry, but if you've got anything on the undercard at Newbury, Ripon or Newmarket, we've also got Doncaster, Perth, Tremor, Market Raisin and Chepstow, here's your chance to yell. Tom, what have you got for us?
I just like one so far, Hidden Depths in the 1 mile 2 furlong handicap at the end of Newbury's card. It's Michael Stout, 3-year-olds, improving. Bumped into a really good one last time in Willie John. It, I think, cost...
Oh, yeah, that looks decent, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah, he's very good. I think he's a Group 1 horse in the making. He cost a lot as well. And this looks a much easier contest for him. And I don't know what price he'll go off, but he should go one better than last time.
What's his name again?
Hidden Depth.
Hidden Depth, and that's in what, the 440, is it?
Yeah, the 1 mile 2 furlong handicap.
Lovely, okay. DJ, what have you got?
I got a fright there because he said the last at Newbury, and my only one is in the last at Newbury. Our old favourite, Del Arca, runs in the Lady Riders race and just looked to rejuvenate a character over hurdles last time at Uttoxeter. Travelled with real zest. It looked like the old Del Arca.
Yeah, it was really good to see him back, wasn't it?
Mm. And I think like he could be rated up on 150 now over hurdles. That was off 143, so I presume he went up a few for that. He's running off 76 here. Now, Miss Siobhan Doolan rides this. She's had 9 rides. She's had 2/3, which I suppose is okay. Like, there's a lot of riders in here who are going to be very, you know, very raw and very inexperienced. But Del Arca, the old boy, you know, he knows what to do. So hopefully, like, he'll be okay and he'll be pretty well behaved. And off a mark of 76, she takes off, I think, £3 as well. Del Arca, now that he's back in form, he could be chucked in on the flat.
It's so hard to look beyond the old Serena B, yeah, though, isn't it, for these races, you know?
And I agree.
Rides the old Alan King thing out of the question. So just the one for you, is it, DJ?
Just the one, yeah. I'm sick of getting abused from you.
No, no. That's fantastic. Well played. Neil, what have you got for us for your roundup?
I got a real fright there because Tom tipped mine.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So we've got 2 votes for, where is it again?
Hidden Depths. 440.
In the 440. Excellent. That was short and sweet. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Tom Collins.
Labrice Breeze, Hungerford Stakes, nap of the day, nap of the week.
3:35 at Newbury. Pardon?
I was just giving out to him for not giving the time.
I know, I should have had a word with him. I'll speak to him afterwards. It's a very good debut, but he's got to remember the golden rule about the time and the meeting.
3:35 Newbury, Labrice.
Well done, Breeze. Tom. See, you only have to tell him once. He's bright as hell.
He'll never be back.
It took you about 10 goes, didn't it, to stop going, oh yeah, sure, the Gordon thing in the novice hurdle. And everyone's like, what, when, who, what's its name? What's your nap, DJ?
The Roger Charlton horse in the second at Newmarket Anno. That's a joke. Hopefully listeners are laughing now.
Buffer Zone 245 Newmarket. Thank you, DJ and Neil Ryan.
Hamada in the 225 at Newbury.
Well played, lads. We'll look at Sunday and York next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Tom Collins, David Jennings and Paddy Powell's Neil Ryan. Looking ahead to Sunday first before we look at York next week. And we'll start with the big race there. It's the Group 1. It's the pre-morning. I'm actually going to be here for that. I'm looking forward to a nice weekend in Deauville. So what's the latest betting on this one, please, Neil?
Pretty Pollyanna at 5-2, Landforce 4-1, Signora Cabello 9-2, So Perfect 5-1, and 10-1 bar.
My eyebrow feels like raising at 5-2 Pretty Pollyanna, Tom. That seems all right, doesn't it?
Yeah, good price. I think she'll win. She really impressed me last time out, and she's the best horse in the race for me.
Lovely. DJ, what did Aidan tell you in midweek about his possible runners in the morning?
He didn't tell me anything, but I just love Aidan when he gets fillies in form and he runs them really quickly. He just gets them on a roll and he gets their mind right and he says, right, bang, bang, bang. And I think that's the case with So Perfect. I thought that was a cracking run last weekend. To split those two colts like advertising the Irish Rover, I think that's really, really strong form. It was interesting to hear Niall say earlier on that there was plenty of money for So Perfect. I have a feeling everything is going to be in our favour here. I think she's better than Landforce. And So Perfect for me.
And who for you, Neil?
I didn't think Pretty Pollyanna would be that big. I thought she'd be shorter, but I'll still stick with my original selection, which was Signora Cabello. She just shows a great attitude. She actually reminds me of Lawrence, where she just does enough to win. She won the Group 2 Maison Lafitte with more upper sleeve than the distance says. Pocket Dynamo, who finished ahead of Landforce in Norfolk, and reopposing True Mason were behind her that day. And I think in the smaller field, she might actually dictate from the front and should be difficult enough to pass. So at 9-2, I think it's a good each-way squeak.
Okay, Britain and Ireland features Sunday meetings at Tremor, Pontefract and Southall. Do you have anything, Tom, or are you going to keep your powder dry for York?
No, I've got one. Queen in Waiting in the listed race. I don't actually know the time, you see. It's at Pontefract.
I'll find out. You tell us why she's such a good thing.
Thank you. David Barron trained. She ran really well last time when hacking up at Chelmsford under Nicola Curry. That was a pretty good race. I imagine she's going to be laid out for this listed race, get a bit of black type. She'll be close to the pace, which is always a plus at Pontefract, and I just think she's a great bet.
In the 3:35?
3:35.
DJ?
What was the question?
Do you fancy anything for Sunday?
Oh, no, sorry, we don't have the decks yet, so no, not really, no. Sorry.
Okay, thanks for that. And Neil?
No, I didn't really get much of a chance to have a look past.
Okay, we'll crack on with York then. I want two tips each. First of all, I want your absolute surefire good thing each, and then maybe a more speculative one. DJ, who's your banker of the week at York?
My banker of the week is Roaring Lion in the Judmont. It could be a cracker of a race, obviously, with Saxon Warrior and Poets World, but I just think over 10 furlongs, I just think York, that performance in the Dante was exceptional. So Roaring Lion, who apparently he's in great form, he'd be my banker.
Neil, who's your banker?
I'm going against David here. I really like Poet's Word. We're actually 13-8, but there is 9-4 out there. I just thought the performance in the King George was scary good. And knowing Sir Michael Stout, will just continue to improve. My outsider, again, is just very dependent on Hamada's run on Saturday and if he actually goes to the Ebor. But, yeah.
You like him if he follows
really
up.
Do. Yeah, it's 12-1 for the Ebor, so that will be much shorter, obviously, if he goes and wins on Saturday.
Absolutely. Banker, Tom?
I'm going to mix it up and say two bankers instead of a banker and a long shot. I go with Stratum and the Ebor. Absolute good thing, I think. Willie Mullins, certainty. And then Roaring Lion, same as David Jennings.
Okay. And DJ, have you got one at a decent price?
Well, I'm hoping it's a decent price. I can't wait for this horse to run. Tony Martin sends over a new cross for the Sky Bet Handicap at York on Wednesday. Well, I hope it runs. Probably the most unlucky loser of the entire week at Galway. Looks like it's got loads in hand when the gaps do open. He's done this before, Tony. He's won a couple of these handicaps at this meeting in the past decade. And I think New Cross is very well handicapped. I think Everton should be in his favour. I think it's, get the time, it's the 4:15 at York on Wednesday.
Well played. Thank you very much, chaps. Weekend plans. Tom, what are you doing? Grafting or are you doing some fun stuff?
I am going out for the day on Saturday with the family and then working Sunday, I believe.
Where are you going to go out for the day?
I don't know. Take the dog out somewhere, I think.
Oh,
providing
brilliant.
The weather's all right.
Lovely. Excellent. How wholesome. See, not all these young people go down shopping centres and drinking and causing all sorts of mischief. DJ, what are your weekend plans?
I'm working, yeah. Richie's on holidays, so holding the fort.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, because you're the gaffer, aren't you? Are you like Gareth in the office when David Brent's away? Do you like sort of take over when Richie's away?
Yeah, I just took off my waistcoat for the show.
That is actually pretty true. And Neil, what's your weekend highlight going to consist of?
So, day off work tomorrow to move into my first house, so I'll be giving IKEA a good scene over the weekend.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a funny name for a woman, IKEA. Okay, on that note, thank you very much indeed for listening and for viewing. We will be back on Monday for a more in-depth look at York and then back next Friday where we will look, among others, at the Ebor and all the rest of the Saturday action. So do join us for that.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.